Do you know, there's so much I could have spoken on this morning, really. There are so many options that we could have gone down. I mean, it's International Women's Day. And given the history of this place, that I could have gone on down there. And it is hallelujah. It is hallelujah that it's 50% of our population, just a bit over. Yeah, we should honour those amongst us who are gifted and who are ladies. Because we all came from one. Yeah, let's remember that, blokes. But that's not what I'm going to speak on today. I could have been speaking on COVID-19 and the joys of coronavirus. I did some studies in microbiology years ago. Coronavirus is a family of viruses. It's not a virus. So when they talk about coronavirus, they're talking about everything that can give you a kidney infection through to a flu. So it's COVID-19. That's what you need to call it, because that's the one that gives you the nasty bug that's going around. But just remember, wash your hands, folks. Don't touch your eyes and your face, and you'll probably be fine. Clean hands, open heart, as we were praying earlier. But what I wanted to talk about actually came out of a reflection of the last few weeks. And we've had Storm Kira, and then we've had Storm Dennis, and then we had Storm Jorge, and we've now got Storm Ellen that will be the next named storm that comes. And these storms, the damage, the challenges that it presented, it got me thinking. It got me thinking about some of the storms and challenges that I faced in my life. Actually have to live with storms. So we're going to read some. They will appear on the screen in the NIV, but if you've got your Bibles, then feel free to turn through to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 35. So basically, if you open your Bibles up, it's about three quarters of the way through. If you're in Malachi, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Matthew, you haven't gone quite far enough. If you're in Luke, John, Romans, Acts, then you've gone a little bit too far. And if you're in Revelation, then you've completely missed it and you need to go backwards a bit. But I'm going to read now, and I'll read from the New International Version. Let's hope the technology works. Yes. So Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is a Sunday school favourite. This is the kind of story that if you went to Sunday school, you'll have heard at least once a year. Which is always a bit of a challenge for me, because I didn't go to Sunday school. I didn't become a Christian until I was 17, so I had no Sunday schooling at all. But it's a well-known part of the Gospels. In fact, it is recorded not just in Mark, but also in Matthew and in Luke, something which they thought was sufficiently important that all three of those Gospel writers wanted us to know about it. And three Gospel writers, I'm a Baptist minister, 3 points. It would be a bit dull if you didn't have 3 points, but I think there are at least three things that this story should speak into our hearts, should speak into our lives. Three for all of those of us who are already Christians, and at least one if you're not. And the first is this: storms happen. I mean, it's an obvious point, isn't it? It's blindingly obvious, but storms happen. Life is full of storms, and some of them you can see them brewing. I'm amazed by the way that the forecasts have changed on the TV, because I can remember when I was growing up, it was kind of, was black and white TV for a start, no colour, no full HD, 4K, 8K or anything like that. And there was a little map of Britain, and you could see the weather forecast, and you had a handful of different symbols, and he would stick a magnetic symbol up, and it would say, it's going to be sunny here, and that would be the whole of Wales, so we knew that wasn't true. And then he'd say, and it'll be raining here, and it was these massive areas, and you had no idea really what was going to happen. The best weather forecast you ever got was to open the curtains, look out through the window and go, right, okay, I know what the weather's like now. Whereas now, you watch it, and they've got these computer-generated forecasts of where it's going to rain, and you can watch different little patches of rain crossing Britain, and they're just investing amount of money, a truly ridiculous amount of money, on being able to get down the forecasting from a 10-kilometre grid, which is what it currently is, down, I think it is, to 250 metres. So they'll be able to say, well, it's going to rain on you, but it's not going to rain on you, and it might rain, you know, it's amazing. And in fact, actually, just so you know, the forecasting model was written by the guy who was president of the Baptist Union the year before last. So the guy called Dave Andrews, he does the Christians in Science stuff. It's amazing. You know when these storms are going to happen, and you can watch them come in, and you can see, right, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to be ready. But of course, there are those storms that seem to just appear. They come out of left field. You've got no idea. And that's the problem, storms. And this storm in Mark's gospel was just like that. It was a beautiful day. It was dead calm. Peaceful. Jesus had been in a boat teaching others on the lake all day. He'd been stood in a boat telling people the good news. You can't do that in a storm. You can do that when it is dead calm. So all day, beautiful day. Disciples must have been sitting there going, it's been a long day. Jesus still wasn't used to the 20-minute sermon, it would appear. He might have done a sermon that lasted all day. So the disciples were tired, and evening was coming. And Jesus said, okay, I'm done with teaching. Let's go over onto the other side. Let's go over on towards the Gerasenes, and we're just going to go over there. And you can imagine the disciples sitting there thinking, okay, it's been a long day. I could really do with a rest now, but it's only a short crossing across the lake. We'll just row. We're fishermen. We can do this. Not long. I'll be resting. And then out of nowhere, bam, like a surprise, the storm hit. It's gone from dead calm to absolute chaos. And in fact, out of the mountains, this storm comes, which still comes today. It's called the Shakia, Arabic for so violent. It is so surprising that it lands and you go from calm to terror for your life. It's the same mechanism that causes tornadoes or hurricanes. The warm, moist air off the Sea of Galilee rises up towards the cold air in the mountains. And where those two systems meet, you suddenly get these massive storm systems forming that will scour down the lake. The Greek used for furious squall actually means hurricane. So the translators were being a little bit understated here with a furious squall. I mean, you sit there and think a furious squall, it's gone. Now, this was a storm that you didn't get out of easily. How terrifying must that have been? How absolutely terrifying. Yeah, and something similar, I think, happened to me. I got a job in Bristol. This is going back to 1999. So a couple of years ago. And I'd been working for a company for a long time, and I was offered a new job working in Bristol. Had a company car. It had medical insurance, it had good salary, bonus. I sit there thinking, wow, this is great. And 5 months in, things seemed to have been going okay. I was called to my boss's office to set the budget for the next year. I was managing this depot, collecting the bins around Bristol all the way down to Taunton. I even got to go to Centre Parks once to fix the bins, mind you, but I got to go to Centre Parks. It was the best thing I think I'd done in that job. And as I walked into the office, so I drove from Bristol to Pontypool, I walked into the office and I can remember seeing my boss was sat by there. And next to him was the lady from personnel. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, this is not a meeting that is going to end well. And within an hour, they kind of said, well, you're still in your probationary period, and we don't think things are working out for you, so you can keep the car for a month, and you can have a month's salary in lieu of notice, but if you leave your keys for the depot on the desk, we'll clear your desk for you, and you can go home. Now, that was bad enough. Now picture the family situation where, let's think, Bethan was 4 years old, Tom was 2 years old, and Delary was due in 3 or 4 months' time. Jan was not in paid employment. She worked really hard looking after the kids. So I was the only one who was bringing any money into the house and thinking, mortgage to be paid, bills to be paid, food to be got, what on earth am I going to do? And I can remember that journey, I can remember that drive back, because this came out of nowhere. And as I walked in, she was actually at a friend's house, and I can remember walking in, and she went, oh, you're home early, because I was usually doing a 60 or a 70 hour week. She said, how lovely. And I can remember going, yeah, I'm going to be home early a lot more often, because I've lost my job. My heart wanted to panic, to run away and hide and just... I thought it was going to be a season where God was going to teach us about suffering and about hardship. And I even had people coming up to me saying, oh, well, if you were following God's will, well, then it wouldn't be like this. It would be easy. It would be smooth. You'd have all that you need. And I went, did you read the same gospel that I read? Did you read about the same disciples that I read about? Did you read about the life of Brecht and how he was, how he had the lashes, 39 lashes, and how he was stoned and left for dead? See, God was faithful to them. And during my time, God was faithful to me. Instead of it being about suffering, God moved some people to push envelopes through my door every now and then. So I managed to get some work to keep the wolf from the door, but whenever I was working, nothing. When I stopped working, when bills were just about to come due, Jan and I would always be praying, okay, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to service this bill? How are we going to make sure we can feed the kids? I'd get up, and I'm an early riser, I get up about 8:30, be an envelope on the doormat. Pick it up, and there'd be a verse, trust in the Lord always, or something like that, and I'd open it. And through the 6 months I was unemployed, thankfully it was only 6 months, every time we were in need, God provided. Because life is full of storms, and the key is not to panic. It's a bit like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Don't panic, always know where your towel is. I never understood the towel bit. The don't panic bit, I think, is great. But have you ever been out to sea in a storm? Have you ever been on a ship in dangerous waters? I was mad enough to do a Duke of Edinburgh award when I was younger, and we worked the lifeboat from November through to February, which seemed like a great idea at the time. But we were in a big boat that could even right itself if it capsized. You were strapped in. It was exhilarating being out in big seas, out in the Severn Estuary, the Bristol Channel, 20-foot waves coming at you, and you're stood on the boat, loving every second because you felt safe. You felt secure. I don't think the disciples had that kind of experience in a boat. Because I don't know what's in your mind when you think about boats, because we think in modern day terms. But that's the kind of boat. You can't see it too clearly up there, but that was a boat that was actually found around the lake, around the Sea of Galilee. So for those of you who like metric, it was 8 meters long by 2.5 meters wide by 1.25 meters deep. If you like imperial, it's 27 feet by 7.5 feet by 4 feet. It's not very big, is it? It's not very big to face those kinds of waves. It's not very big to deal with those kinds of heavy seas with waves breaking over the boat. The boat starting to fill up. Tired men rowing at the oars. And it's getting dark. And they're struggling. They're straining at the oars. But they're fishermen. So that's a really good thing because they know what they're doing, but it's a really bad thing because they know what will happen if it doesn't work out. They know what the consequences are if it goes wrong. Goodness me. They knew that they were being pushed beyond their ability. So they started to panic. They started to panic, and you can tell that from when you hear their voices. Because, I mean, let's face it. Okay, I'm going to read it in the normal way that we read this. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Do you think they said it like that? "Excuse me, teacher. I think we're going to drown." "Teacher, do you think we're going to drown? Help!" That's where they were coming at it. They're tired, they're wet, they're scared. They're so far beyond their comfort zone. They're so far that they're looking for anybody to help them. "Jesus, wake up!" It's miraculous he's sleeping in the stern, in the back of the boat, on a cushion. With all these waves and everything going on, I'm not quite sure how it's possible, but it does remind us of Jonah sleeping on a ship in a similar case. There's a difference, though, of course, because Jonah was the problem in Jonah's story here. Jesus is the solution, but Jesus is fast asleep. And the disciples have already seen Jesus do some amazing things. They've already seen him heal people. They've already seen him deal with the demonic. And yet, I don't think, well, you can guess that they weren't expecting a miracle because of their response at the end of the passage. Because their response was not great. Just what we expected. He sorted it out. Their response was terror. "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." You see, I don't think they wanted a miracle. I think they wanted somebody to help them bail out the boat. I think they're saying 12 hands is good, 13 hands better. Let's go for it. Come on, Jesus, wake up. Help us bail out. Help us to survive this last few moments. Jesus didn't respond that way, though. He got up and he was authoritative. And he said to the wind and the waves, "Be calm. Be still." Or "quiet, be still," it says in the NIV. The outcome was miraculous. Dead calm. The storm went. It's not that surprising when you think Jesus, as the Son of God, said something that's a little bit more, again, the NIV, and in fact most Bible translations saying, you know, Jesus standing up and saying, "Be quiet." Religious, doesn't it? He actually said, "Shut up." That's what his words actually mean a bit more closely. And his question to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" It's easy to forget, isn't it, that the disciples heard everything that Jesus had said that day. The disciples, because they followed him, heard everything he said every time he taught. And there were people who were responding to just those few words, and yet the disciples are with him going, "We're in the gang. We're hanging with the main man. It's all really good." And yet they didn't quite get it. They didn't get that if they had Jesus with them in the boat, then everything would be okay. It was that simple. God wasn't finished with them yet, so there was still more for them to do, but that meant they didn't need to be scared. Because although the storm was real, Jesus was with them in the storm. And that, for me, I think, is the key point. And it's the key challenge for me today, and it's the key challenge for you today. And that's trust God. Whatever you're going through today, wherever you find yourself, trust God. Because Jesus could have said to the disciples, couldn't he? He could have said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are strong enough yourself to overcome the storm. But he didn't. Didn't say that. He could have said, don't be afraid. If you become a Christian right now, if you follow me right now, I'll give you a bigger boat. And storms will never bother you again. Well, he could have, but he didn't say that. He could have said, don't be afraid, you'll never have a storm like this in your life. He didn't say that. He said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? In other words, he's saying, don't trust the miracles. Trust me. Don't trust the things that you see. Trust the person that you are with. Brooks, in his New American Commentary, puts it this way. Mark likely intended to indicate that faith is more than intellectual assent. It's not just what you think. That it is trust in a person. This kind of faith Jesus' original disciples should have had, and all subsequent disciples should have. We're called to trust Jesus in every storm of life, no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through. Remember that Jesus goes there with you if you put your faith and trust in Christ. You see, what Mark's also trying to say is, and Matthew and Luke actually, Jesus stilling the storm wasn't the only message that he wanted to try and get people to understand, that Jesus was some miracle worker. In ancient Jewish thought, the waters were uncontrollable. They were chaos. They were evil. That's where everything wrong kind of resided. And the only one who could actually control them was God. No one else. God alone had control over the deep. And you can see it. You can see it in a few different places. You can see it right at the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. You can see it in the Psalms. So I'm going to read just a little bit before what's on the screen. Psalm 107. Some went out on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let him exalt him. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. And you can see it in Job, and you can see it in Proverbs, and you can see it, of course, in Jonah. Jesus could command the seas. Not even Moses could do that. Mark is simply reminding people of the very beginning of his gospel, where he says, this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So that's the challenge, really, isn't it, for us? Do we have Christ in our lives? Do we have Jesus with us in the boat? If we do, then the storms, when they come, our first response should be to seek God, to turn to him and say, I don't like this storm. I don't understand this storm necessarily. But will you walk with me through this storm? If you don't have Jesus with you in the boat, well then this challenge is very simple. You need to get Jesus in the boat with you. Because otherwise, the storms, well, you're going to be facing them alone. And that's not a good place to be. So I think there is a need to respond. I think there is something that we all need to do, because I can guarantee that every one of us will not have been as faithful as we should during the storms of life. That all of us, like the disciples, will be sitting there shaking our fists at heaven and saying, "Jesus, wake up," when he's actually saying, "Well, I'm here. I'm next to you." So I'd like us to respond. So if you have got some things that you need to repent of, maybe, where you're panicking in the face of the storm, we're going to have a little bit of space in a moment just for us to do that, particularly at the communion table. It may be that you need to trust Jesus anew, afresh, because you have trusted him in the past, but storms have knocked your confidence. And you're sitting there thinking, "I'm not sure." It may be that you have never trusted Jesus, and do you know what? If you haven't, today is a great day to make that first step, to trust him in the storms, because he will not make the storms go away, but he will make the storms bearable. He will lead you through them. And if you've never trusted Jesus and you decide that today is the day and today's a great day, then speak to one of the leaders here. You can speak to me as well. We'd love to pray with you after. But if this all works well, and we're just quietly, no praying out loud, just us and God, we're just going to have a little bit of discussion, a bit of communion with our Lord before we go into a meal of communion. So let's still our hearts and allow Christ to speak. Heavenly Father, we know that you love us. We're so grateful that you're here right now. We're so grateful that you've been here all the time. That you have never left us. You have never abandoned us. You have never turned your back on us. So Jesus, please, as we celebrate now this communion meal, make us aware that you are here. Open our eyes to your presence, Lord God. Holy Spirit, may your power be at work in us and through us. Heavenly Father, might your name be glorified. For you are the creator of heaven and earth. You made all things, and we glorify your name now. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.